Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whether your business needs cars, vans, or larger commercial vehicles, you can rent from the best lineup in the UK with Enterprise. And with flexible long-term rental, you can get vehicles for as long as you need them, from minutes to months. Whatever the mission, Enterprise's mobility experts can build a bespoke solution to suit your business needs. Visit enterprise.co.uk/business to find out more.
This is TalkSport Daily.
Hello and welcome to another Andy Goldstein's TalkSport Daily podcast with me, your host with the most brackets hair, Andy Goldstein. And what a podcasty thing we have got coming your way, and it's possibly the greatest way you could start your working week. And we begin with Chris Powell talking England with Ray Houghton and Mark Saggers.
Saggy Baggy!
Oh, sorry. Saggy Baggy. Apologies.
The one thing that I've sensed, and I'm privileged like Ray, I mean, to have covered many of these tournaments and with England again, with Jim and with Stuart Pearce. And, you know, the sense of belonging of a tournament is different this time because it is completely across Europe, but with a lot of the emphasis here and a real opportunity for England. And having met now a lot of these young England players before the tournament and the World Cup 2 years ago, they're a good bunch. I like this bunch of England players. I was very impressed with all of them, actually, as young men.
I think Gareth has been clever in that when, I think it was before the World Cup, where they had the real open media day.
It was important, that, I think. And we found out an interaction more than we'd ever had with some of these players, and something for them to think about as well.
But I think Chris said something earlier, maybe off air between himself and I, when he said it's more like a club environment.
Yeah.
And I think that's made a huge difference as well. Players like coming along, don't they? There's no little, like, one set of players are over there from Man United or Liverpool, as it was. I mean, let's get it right. That's how it was before, wasn't it?
It was like,
they didn't really get on. I mean, the boys talk about it, didn't they? Frank Lampard's talked about it. You hardly ever spoke to Rio, even though they were best mates growing up when we were both at West Ham at the time. But then that rivalry came in when he was at Chelsea and Rio was at Manchester United. You don't seem to have that now, Chris. It seems to be there's a real good spirit.
Yeah, you still gravitate to the people you know, and that's quite normal. But the camaraderie, and that's been built up over trust, over time, on the training field, having tournaments, going away together, and trust from Gareth, because he says, you know, you're all here, and the shirt is something to be proud of. You know, he was very big on that, even from the outside looking in, that he wanted that shirt not to be heavy. He wanted them to enjoy being there. And they certainly do. They really do. They're well looked after. They get on well.
Don't they use social media together as well? They're on WhatsApp groups and give encouragement to each other when they're playing.
I believe so. I'm coaching staff, so I wouldn't be part of it.
not saying you're on the WhatsApp group, but you know, they do use social media. I mean, it's a huge part of the youngsters growing up and one thing or another. But they use it in a positive way to reassure each other. You know, I think that is important.
And for you as well, Chris. I mean, real pride, and you know, we wish you all the very best with that. I mean, a great year for you to be involved now with this tournament in front with a decent squad, if I can say that.
Yeah, I couldn't have timed it any better, to be honest. I'm really looking forward to it, and I've learnt so much in a short space of time, not only from Gareth, and I love the way he deals with them. He's very knowledgeable. He handles it really well. He carries himself well. He's very thoughtful with his players, but also he's thoughtful with the staff and how he wants everyone to act. And as he always says, it's elite players and they should have elite preparation at an elite training facility, yeah. which it is, and they should have elite coaching. And he's right, you know, and if you have that, there's no reason to complain. You want to be there because you know you're going to get the best.
Absolutely.
And, you know, Steve Holland is very good in his preparation, in talking with the staff and what he wants. The players are very receptive. And, you know, for myself, just learning, and you can always learn. I'm 50 now and I've managed and coached for, you know, over 10 years. But actually, there's stuff I've learned about the 4-3-3. Which I didn't know,
yeah.
you know, and that is part of the reason why I'm there, because actually that develops me moving on in my career. You know, if I coach or manage whatever level, if I play that system, because I've learned it at the highest level.
Next up, it's the ex-husband of Katie Price. That's Simon Jordan. Apparently, he used to model his hair on hers. That's why it was full of lemon juice. Anyway, that's a story for another day. This is Simon Jordan on The Final Word with Danny Kelly, a show which should be called Danny Kelly's Final Word, but for reasons that are unknown to me, it's Simon Jordan's Final Word with Danny Kelly. I mean, it doesn't make any sense, does it? It's Danny Kelly having the final word with Simon Jordan on his show. Anyway, this is Simon, and oh, just listen to this.
It's right-footed, it's straight down the middle, and maybe Watford are heading for their first home win of the season. Watford 2, sorry, Manchester United 0.
I'm not buying Pogba these days at Manchester United. I he hasn't played not for 96 million quid, no, certainly. But he obviously can play because he was very, very good once he got on the pitch, but maybe just looked good because everyone else was so dirty.
Sure, it's 70 minutes into a game. The game is stretched. Everyone's been running around for 70 minutes. Mm. He's full of beans. OK, he won't be match fit, but I would expect if Man United have been so bad in that game, as their coach has alluded to, it won't be very difficult for him to shine. And when we were talking about Riola, one of the things that we didn't touch upon was the timing of his
fascinating
his outburst, because we haven't seen hide nor hair of Pogba, you know, for 3-4 months, and he's back in the starting or in the 18 for the game, mm-hmm. and out comes his agent with a set of opinions about how Man United should be run,
and on the cusp, of course, of what is a very complicated transfer window for Manchester United, because if you don't have a director of football and you're not sure about a manager, how do you do the transfers? Ralph Ragnick, whoever else he's talking about getting in, we know what Manchester United's strategy is. For as long as I can remember, it has been to bring through good young players at the club and to buy best in class each summer.
Buy key components.
Yeah.
And build off them.
And to build, and between that, to have a good enough manager to marry those two things to be the dominant force in England if you can. They're way off that at the moment, but they don't need a philosopher. Maybe they do need a technician just to get all these things knitted together. Well, I don't know.
When you've got, Mourinho kind of knew what he wanted, but he was not able to get it at certain times because I think we think, or the media thinks, that Woodward stymied Mourinho's desire to buy Harry Maguire and another centre-half because he'd bought enough centre-halves, and the ones that he'd bought were potential pups. But this idea that a director of football is the game-changer of everything is, to my mind, is a false narrative. He's part of a strategy that's coherent for the club, that tries to be able to make sure that deals can happen, that facilitates solutions, that he's expeditious in his scouting network in terms of getting the information that comes through and being fast-tracked with it. But it's really the manager. It's the manager that, at the end of the day, picks the 11, picks the 18. And you will have always heard, you know, about managers that are not buying the players, not picking the players, that players are being foisted upon them. I've never bought that. Brendan Rodgers said that when he was at Liverpool. There was this committee of people that ultimately chose the players for him. I don't believe that. I believe that maybe you don't get your first choice or your second choice.
But that's true of any club.
But you might get your third choice. The beauty of Manchester United is, more often than not, your first choice is available to you because you have the cachet and the kudos of the club. You normally have the leverage of the manager being in place, whether it's a Mourinho or a Louis van Gaal, and even a David Moyes. They all have cachet. And you have the financial resources to be able to do whatever you choose.
It's like the reports today, similarly with Chelsea, reports today that they want Jadon Sancho. Sancho's club in Germany says, we want 120 million. Chelsea says, all right, there's 120 million for. Yep. We'll see if that works out in January.
Now, of course, there was some incredibly sad news over the weekend. We learnt that the World Cup winner, the great Martin Peters, sadly passed away. Here's Alvin Martin paying tribute to the World Cup winner.
I know he was a fantastic man. I got to know him very well. you know, when I was playing at West Ham and when he'd finished, we were both associated in the same circles. And just a tremendous guy. Tremendous guy, sure. Understated. And it really is sad news. Obviously, the World Cup is synonymous with Martin Peters' name. And the three West Ham players, all for different reasons, were fantastic icons of the club. Bobby Moore, because he lifted the trophy. Sir Geoff, because he scored a hat-trick. But Martin, I know I spoke to many, many players who played with all three of them. And a lot of them said the same thing, Russ. They said he was the most naturally gifted of the three. He was a spectacular player. I know that there were certain things that they used to do in training, the three of them. Sir Geoff, Bobby Moore, and Martin would maybe start a three on the goal line, and they would keep a ball up between the three of them, walk into the other end of the pitch and never let it drop. And they were the ones that Ron Greenwood always got to demonstrate anything of subtlety in the training.
Now we can move on to the weekend sports breakfast show, so-called, because, of course, it's at the weekend and, well, it's a breakfast show. I mean, it's there right in front. If you can't work it out, you're more stupid than Jason's hairdresser, who says, yeah, I'll cut it for you, when really should shave the whole thing off. Anyway, here's Tony Cascarino, big tone. Big tone, that's how they address him. And Georgie Bingham talking Arsenal.
I can't tell you how annoyed this makes me. Arsenal were playing out from the back yesterday and got caught quite a few times. And if Freddie Ljungberg had done one thing as caretaker boss, he could have stopped that. Yeah. But if you were walking in tomorrow as Ancelotti and as Arteta, what are your priorities?
Well, just on playing from the back.
Yeah, I'm so tired of saying it.
Okay. Well, I can tell you for nothing, Georgie, they're going to do that. With Arteta. But he will bring in players that are capable of playing from the back. I watched Liverpool Flamengo last night, and the players were well capable of playing from positions of danger and being very comfortable. That is the problem. If you're asking players that ain't good enough to do it, who can't do it, that is the biggest problem. Yeah. That's another issue completely. So Arteta is going to be doing that. I can't imagine him going from what he's experienced at Man City and how they've played, he's suddenly going to go and hoofing it long and giving the ball away. No, he's not.
I'm not saying they have to hoof it long, but...
No,
yeah, but... Stop. Stop playing out from the back.
Well, that is not going to happen.
Oh!
Right, okay.
Hi, I'm Danny Kelly, and you're listening to TalkSport Daily.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This episode of the TalkSport Daily is brought to you by Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Planning to hire or share a car or van? Enterprise is there every step of the way. Whenever and wherever you need a vehicle and whatever it's for, Enterprise can help. With over 450 locations across the UK, they're just around the corner. Whether you need a weekend rental, a holiday hire, a replacement car, or you're planning a business trip, home or away, Enterprise are there to help. To find out more and book, visit enterprise.co.uk.
Now, of course, the big news of the sporting week, or even the Arrows week, was Fallon Sherrup. She was breaking records left, right and centre, Ali Pali. Well, more centre, actually. Here's how it sounded on TalkSport 2 with Paul Nicholson, or as he's known, Paul Nicholson, man! Your commentator.
She's got single 18. She's going to get a match start, is she? Yes, she is. It's at the ball. She hasn't hit it yet. But now she has! Fallon Sherrup has just eliminated Mensa Sulevic from the World Darts Championship at Alexandra Palace. The dream continues. Everybody here at Ali Pali cannot believe what they've just seen. We cannot wipe the smile from Fallon Sherrup's face. The referee kisses her cheek, every scorer kisses her cheek, and the media centre's gone absolutely nuts. Sherrup advances. Sulevic is gone.
and Ladies Darts continues to thrive here on TalkSport 2.
Fallon Sherrick, the lady of the moment, we're delighted to say, joins us here on TalkSport 2. Fallon, many, many interviews over the last few days, but obvious question, how does that feel in comparison to your first one against Ted?
Oh, it feels amazing. I mean, I've just taken out one of the best in the world. I mean, I'm still a bit speechless. It hasn't sunk in yet about beating Ted, let alone, like, Mensa. I mean, I'm speechless, but I'm absolutely, I'm over the moon.
I was very impressed with your finish and how you held it together there. How did you, you fed off the crowd. The crowd got a mental, but you used them to your advantage again. How did it feel to have them behind you again up on that big stage?
Oh, it was amazing. I mean, I definitely used them to my advantage and stuff like that. I mean, I've never had this many people like behind me supporting me when I've been playing darts. So it seems to be working. I mean, I'm so grateful for them and I thank them.
It's brilliant, Fallon, and the interviews you've given, the media interest, the international interest. It must all feel like just a dream, if you like, that you might wake up from, but it's reality. And will reality strike perhaps after this tournament when you wake up one morning back at home and maybe just look back on it all, do you think?
Yeah, I definitely think it will all sink in after the tournament's finished. I mean, it will not sink in, like, even over the Christmas break. It will sink in as soon as, like, I finish playing.
One last question and we'll let you go and celebrate, Fallon. Talking about Chris Dovey in the next round, how do you approach that game now? And obviously, probably aware you've never played a match best of seven sets. How will you feel playing in that sort of length of match?
I'm just going to prepare the same way that I've just, like, prepared myself for Ted and Mensa. I mean, obviously, I'm just going to have to put a little bit more practice in for the longer format. But I'm hoping I should be all right. I mean, I'm doing okay, so I can't really complain about it.
Time now for the best bits of Andy Goldstein's Trans-Europe Express with me, Andy Goldstein, Andy Brassel and Chris Parrott. This, of course, being on the Andy Goldstein TalkSport Daily podcast.
Right, let's turn our attention now to Italy. The headline is Super Lazio. And that's, of course, because they were super. They were really super in the Italian Super Cup final. They beat Juve 3-1. Now, my first question in this is it Saudi? Is that right? Is it Saudi Arabia?
Yeah.
Okay, yes. And this is where they play it now. They've been doing it for some years. How does this go down with the Italian fans? Do they mind that they're one of their cup competitions, the finals, not in their country?
They're totally used to it now. And as long as it's not the thin end of the wedge, I think it's something they can cope with. I mean, if you go back to the earliest instance of the Italian Super Cup being played abroad, we're going back 17, 18 years in Tripoli, when you had that relationship between the Gaddafis and Juventus. And since then, you've had it in China, you've had it in all sorts of different places. It's something that the French Super Cup, the Trophée des Champions, that they do as well. They've had it abroad in recent years. They've struggled to sell the tickets rather embarrassingly when they've had it in different places, like they've had it in New York, they've had it in Austria, China, all sorts of different places. But I suppose for a lot of associations, this is kind of the easy out, isn't it? I mean, Juventus were doing Serie A were doing it for commercial reasons initially, but not really strictly linked to expansion. It was about cultivating and tending to a business relationship that already existed. Whereas now, leagues following the Premier League are in a huge race to expand as much as they can. And after the international beating that Serie A's image has really taken, especially in the second half of 2019, getting the message out there, I suppose, is even more important than ever.
How super were Lazio then in the final?
They were very good. They felt like a team who really, really wanted to win the game, and maybe Juventus, barring Cristiano Ronaldo, who looked gutted at the end, maybe looked like a team who thought this is a Super Cup and it's not the most important trophy we're going for. But take nothing away from Lazio, who beat Juve in the league this season, and now they've beaten him in the Super Cup. They're on an incredible run. On Monday, they scored two late goals at Cagliari to make it 8 Serie A wins in a row. Which is no mean feat in such a competitive league. And they were excellent. Juve played Alexandro left back. Lazio seemed to target him. They fully deserved to win 3-1. Dybala got Juve's goal after a keeper parried it out. He got a tap in, but Lazio were much better. And even at the end, Maurizio Sarri admitted they were. And I think Simeone Inzaghi is doing a terrific job at Lazio, who are well in the race for top four, maybe even the title race now. And again, a bit like Barcelona, there is still a sense that Juventus under Maurizio Sarri, you don't quite know where they're going at the moment. They're nowhere near 100%.
Time now to check in with the latest edition of the Glory Hunters podcast, which is published every Monday morning. Just like to point out to new listeners of the TalkSport Daily podcast, if you're maybe not familiar with Bob Mills, this is actually how he speaks. He's not had four pints of lager beforehand.
I believe that there should be shortlists for managers of football clubs for people who just want to have a go.
Lovely, yeah.
You can just turn up and say, here's my season ticket, I've been coming 37 years, yeah. Bang, yeah. And you should be in, yeah. And you should be given a go.
Have you got your FA Pro licence? I've got my HGV licence.
Yeah.
You're in.
I'll tell you what I've got. I've got a couple of £100, stick that in your hand. who's left this money on the table?
I love it.
And as we lead out now, the Charity Shield final.
In 50s.
Pep Guardiola leading out Manchester City, and alongside him, the Manchester United manager Stan Rouse from Barnsley, who's nicked a couple of quid on the table.
He's a window cleaner.
Yeah, he's fancied his chances, and God bless them, they've given him a go.
Now, of course, that's it. I say, of course, I mean, you probably don't know unless you've looked at the old clock and you think, oh, there's only a couple of minutes left. But then you do know that's it. But let me tell you that, of course, this week being Christmas week, I can't be bothered to drag myself away from my family. And more importantly, if my wife and children aren't listening, my little doggy, Scooter Frank, to come in and record more podcasty chat. So from tomorrow, there will be a podcast available, tomorrow being Christmas Eve, and that will be the best of interviews. That is a collection of some of the best interviews from 2019, including Deontay Wilder, I didn't do that one. Tyson Fury, didn't do that one. And Ben Stokes, didn't do that one. I'm sure someone might on it. Anyway, you've been listening to the Andy Goldstein TalkSport Daily Podcast with me, your host, Andy Goldstein. Feel free to send me any Christmas presents if you've not already done so. I mean, I'll still give you a little mention. In fact, I will. Any letters that you want to send in to me to read out on the TalkSport Daily Podcast, feel free to do that and give you a little mention. We'll see how that goes. Maybe some Christmas cards or even some money. Anyway, please click and subscribe via Acast, Apple Podcasts and Spotify. There'll be another... It says here. There'll be another one of these at the same time tomorrow. But there won't be. I've just told everyone that there's going to be the best of interview. So that's a lie. Whoever's written that, you're fired. Have a great Christmas, everyone. Have a wonderful Christmas Eve. Have a great Christmas Day. Don't do anything I wouldn't do, which basically covers most things that I would. Be safe, everyone. Be safe.
That was a podcast from TalkSport.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whatever your mission, home or away, don't delay. Enterprise has the vehicle for the job. Rent from the best lineup in the UK. With over 450 branches, Enterprise has what your business needs. From compact three-door cars to spacious SUVs and people carriers to vans, they offer a large range of reliable vehicles perfect for the job. To find out more and book, visit enterprise.co.uk.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.